Blog Talk Radio.
Bring us back to our city, take us out of hell and captivity. Yahweh, need your spirit to deliver me.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hold Jerusalem. Let's walk in the light of Yah. Return to Maya. Hold Zion, Mount Zion. Oh, Mount Zion. Let's walk in the light of Yah. Return to Maya. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Hold Jerusalem. Let's walk in the light of Yah. Return to Maya. Hold Zion, Mount Zion. Oh, Mount Zion. Let's walk in the light of Yah. Return to Maya.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Praise the mighty Yah. Beautiful singing from the choir. Hallelujah. We're going to get into our final portion of our holy convocation services. But before we do, let's open up with a prayer. Praise is all glory, all honor unto the mighty Elohim, the King of Kings, the Master of Masters, the Elohim of Elohim, the only true and living Elohim, the Creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and the Elohim of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Most High Yahweh of hosts. We thank you, mighty Yahweh, for thou art gracious, thou art compassionate, thou art have loving kindness that endureth unto all generations. And there is none else beside thee. You mighty Yahweh, for thy goodness. We praise thee, mighty Yahweh, for thy word. And we praise thee, mighty Yahweh, and we praise thy holy name. For thou art good to be praised. And mighty Yahweh, you bless us to be here on this Shabbat day. And we ask you continue to allow us to hear thy truth. To hear thy word, that thy spirit may dwell in this place, and that you may fill us with thy light, so that we may be able to know how to walk on in your path to do righteousness and goodness. Please forgive us, mighty Yahweh, for we're not worthy all the mercy and truth that you have shown us. Please forgive us for our iniquities, transgressions, and sins. Allow us to walk on in your ways in truth and in cleanliness. Allow us to return unto thy holiness. Please help those that need you the most, mighty Yah, and bless them. And mighty Yah, please bless the spiritual food and the physical food that we have received, that it may nourish us. For we love you, mighty Yah, and we thank you for all things that you have done. From this time forth and forevermore, by saying hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Amen. Praise the mighty Yah. It's my most esteemed pleasure to be able to bring to you and introduce to you our Moray, the Moray of the House of Israel, the Senior Moray of the House of Israel. Is Moray Ishaya has been teaching the word of the mighty Yahweh for nearly 30 years. He is one of the co-founders of the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference, which was founded by Moray Elisha Yisrael, the man of Elohim. And this was his mentor and friend that founded the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference. He is also the host and the teacher of the program, Nothing But the Truth, that airs 6 days throughout the week. And he is also a teacher of many teachers throughout this country. But the most is servant of the Most High, Yahweh, our Elohim. So let me bring to you the man of Yahweh, Morey Eshaya ben Yisrael. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise
Yah. Yah's righteous.
Yah's holy.
Yah is holy. Let Yahweh be magnified. And they be seated in Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to all those listening by the way of internet, YouTube, Blog Talk, Facebook, and all the other places they able to reach us. Hallelujah. Everybody doing good on this beautiful Shabbat day?
Praise the
Lord. Oh, y'all look hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. Before we get into our lesson today, and before we get into our questions for today's class, of course, we are 40 nights, 40 days, and now we are on 40 nights. Praise the mighty Yah. It's beautiful. And if anyone have any questions on any of the 40 days or 40 nights that we have undertook, free to ask. Also, we successfully came through the book of Genesis. Did y'all like that? Praise the mighty Yah. It's beautiful. One of my brothers was studying Genesis, Brother Mesa, and he came to me, and he said, man, I've seen something that I don't know if we ever went over, which we have not went over, and he asked me about. I told him I would look at it. This is why studying these things are so vitally important, because you'll start seeing things that you never seen before. It was Genesis, the 11th chapter. And I'll start reading at the 26th verse.
Genesis 11, verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot.
And Haran begot Lot. And so anybody remember what generation Terah is? It was 12 different generations in the book of Genesis. Anybody for one? Anybody for two? Three? Four? All right. Well, Terah, what did you say, Lemuel? What did you say? You said seven. All right. Well, ten. Well, it is the seventh generation. It is the seventh generation. If you read all the generations, just so you can see this and see what my brother brought to me, like, for example, in Genesis, the 10th chapter, it says, let me go to one that's a little bit more comparable. The this will be let me see. And what I'm looking for is the generation of Ishmael. I think I might have found it, but yeah. Genesis 25. Yeah, start at verse 12.
Genesis 25 and 12 reads, "Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebaioth, and Kedar, and Abel, and Mibsham, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masah, Hadar, and Tamah, Naphish, and Kedemah."
Mm-hmm. So in other words, when they talk about these generations, sometimes it read in a way that can be kind of confusing sometimes. You notice it says, "And these are the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generation. The firstborn of Ishmael is Nebaioth," right? And then Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. And then it goes right into all his other sons, and Kedar, and Abiel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masa. It just goes into the various his sons. But it's not really telling you other than the first person it named, it told you he was the firstborn. So you can distinguish that. But even the way it reads is sometimes difficult to distinguish that. Likewise, if you go to Genesis 10, very first verse.
Genesis, the 10th chapter, the first verse. "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood."
Yeah, if you didn't know no better, you would think when it says these three sons that they were in this order. They are in this order, but you would think that they were twins or triplets because it just keeps these three lumped together: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There's other scriptures that let you know no, they weren't triplets at all. But then it would read the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magar, Madai, Madai, and Yavan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyre. In other words, it's just letting you know his sons, but it's not really, distinguishing, the birth order. This could be the birth order because typically the scriptures will read that way, but it's not really distinguishing, just letting you know these are his sons. Same as Ham. In the sixth verse, and the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. Then it goes to the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raama, Sabteka. And the sons of Raama, Sheba, and Dedan. So it's letting you know their sons. Typically, it reads from the oldest to the youngest, and you can pretty much distinguish that. And started it in Genesis, the 11th chapter, it do read kind of peculiar. And this is what he asked me and wanted me to search out. Like, for example, in the 12th verse, it says what?
And Arphaxad, lived 530 years and begat Salah.
And begat Salah. And then it says in the 14th verse.
And Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber.
And he got begat Eber. And then in the 16th verse.
And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg.
And it seems real simple and easy. The 18th verse.
And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu.
Yes. And then 20th verse.
And Reu lived 32 years and begat Serug.
Mm-hmm. And then 22nd verse.
And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor.
Uh-huh. And then the 24th verse.
And Nahor lived 92 years and begat Terah.
And now read the 26th verse.
And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran.
And what difference do y'all see? In other words, he lived 70 years, and it seemed like he begot what? All three of them. Like they were what? Like they were triplets. Like they were triplets. Now, with Shem, Ham, and Japhet, it reads a little bit different. See, and with them, this is how I read in Genesis, the fifth chapter. But I'm not yet ready to declare triplets yet because I just have to see a little bit more evidence, but this is real striking to me. In the 32nd verse, Genesis 5 and 32,
it reads, and Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Yeah, he was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So it kind of reads the same way, as if, but then I can show you where these three, yeah, they're not the same age. Y'all want to see that? All right, well, just to show you this, going back to Genesis, the 11th chapter. Well, first, let's read the 10th chapter. 10th chapter. Genesis 10. Say that again. Which one? Noah was, Shem, Ham, and Japhet are the 10th, 11th, and 12th generation of Adam. But what we were speaking about is the 12 generations in the book of Genesis. So those are two different things. In the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, the 21st verse. Now watch how this reads.
It reads, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber.
He's the father of all the children of Eber.
The brother of Japheth.
He's the brother of Japheth.
The elder.
The elder.
Even to him were children born.
So in other words, it's already identifying Japheth as the what? He's the elder. He's the oldest. Even though it read in Genesis 5 and 32 that when he was 500 years old, he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's why you always go further in your studies. And then not only does it say he's the elder, then you might ask, well, who, if it is true that he started having these children in the year 500, when he was 500 years old, he undoubtedly had Japheth. Then you might ask, well, when was Shem and Ham born? Well, now go to Genesis, the 11th chapter. In the book of Genesis 11 and 10, this is what it says.
Genesis 11, verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood.
2 years after the flood. We know the flood was in what year? Anybody remember? That is correct. The 600th year of Noah. So if he had, so when Shem, he had a fox eye 2 years after the flood, and he was 100 years old, that would mean he had the fox eye when? Yeah, yes, but what year would it be? 600 and what? 2. That is correct. 602, which means he had to be born when? 502. The 502nd year. That is correct. Japheth was born the 500th year. And that would mean Ham had to be born when? 501st year. That is correct. 500, 501, and 502. And we got these things documented too as well. But those are the scriptures that support when they were born. Because once it gives you certain identifying markers, then you can follow the timeline. And so once he had a fox eye two years after the flood, and he was 100 years old, we know he had to be born in 502. Japheth was the elder, so he had to be born in the 500 year. And that would only leave Ham 501. Say that again. Well, he was born 502. But all three of them still, because they sons of Noah, they all began that first generation. And so all the children after them will be second generation, third generation, fourth generation, and so forth and so on. And then to separate them by their generations, by their tongues, by their families, by their towns, by their cities, by the countries that they all come from, but they come from the same one, is if their children were separated. Their children were separated. And so the reason we brought this up, because my good brother Mason said, it looked like they might be triplets. And I can see why he's saying that, because it says, again, and Terah lived 70 years, and we got Abram, Nahor, and Haran. But we've seen that with Noah. But Noah began to show you, oh, no, these ain't triplets at all. And it don't give you enough information about Terah to distinguish whether they were or not. So we can assume they are, but we're still not 100% sure unless it's showing something otherwise. All right? And I just wanted to bring that out, because once you start going over the generations, you'll begin to see things that might read to you and a little bit different, but you're going to learn from it. You're going to learn from this. Hallelujah. Any other questions before we get into a lesson today? And don't wait till the end and give me internet questions and then...
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The question is, do we eat the same way as fasting because of the Sabbath? So they're trying to find out on this day.
Say that again?
Yeah, the question is worded funny. It says, do we eat the same way as fasting because of the Sabbath? Trying to find out on this day. So I guess
I'm not sure if you hear that question, the way he's asking it, just reword the question for us so we can properly answer you, because I'm not understanding the question. Yes, sir. JJ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. His vaccine. Vaccine What do you feel about this vaccine that's coming out?
All right. That's good. Praise the mighty God. Well, you can go ahead and comment on it. I just tell you how I feel about it. What's your thoughts on it?
Thoughts? Well, my brain, not thinking about it. It's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
People dying over it or whatever. So I guess this is going to cure.
Cure.
I don't know. Other than that, this vaccine, I know. I'm not going to take it.
Right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, as Israelites, we consider everything. So if there was something, if this was something that it wasn't in conflict with what we believe or what we teach, then we might consider it. But then if it's something that is in conflict, then the consideration is not even a consideration. It goes against the Most High. Most vaccines that I know of goes, not all of them, though. I've seen some vaccines that, I haven't seen them, but some vaccines, they, I say, quote, unquote, make it kosher in a manner that it's not, it won't cause you to go against the Most High. For example, they have certain shots that you can take to travel out of the country that might be, and they consider them vaccines that you can take to travel all over the world. And they seem to respect your dietary restrictions in this vaccine. And I'm thinking one of them is called yellow fever. They got one that's unclean, and they got one that is clean. What I hear, this is what I hear. So I can't confirm it, but this is what I hear. And they'll tell you what's in it and everything. They're supposed to vaccinate you against yellow fever because when you go to certain countries, they will, it's easy to catch some of these various diseases there that can kill you. This particular vaccine here, I don't know if they release any of the makeup of the vaccine, but chances are 99.9% chance that it's unclean. Typically, they use blood. They call it something else, though. I am trying to think of the name. I can't think of it right now, but they use blood, which is against our law. And a lot of times they use other unclean things that's against our law. And so we teach and believe that we just err on the side of the Most High. You know, we know Most High kill and make alive, so we don't vaccinate our children. We don't vaccinate ourselves. And today they even have an adult vaccinate themselves just to be a part of certain doctors. Certain doctors won't even accept you unless you're vaccinated. And I'm talking about the adults, let alone the children. Certain fields you can't work in unless you vaccinated. Now, right now, what they're saying, they are saying that they have exemptions, so it's not mandatory. They're not making it mandatory, but that's right now. But what they are mandating, like in the state of California, you can't even be a part of public education unless you're vaccinated. So it's going state by state. So depending on the state you're in, depends on how restrictive the mandate is on vaccines. And so we'll see. They are rolling out just like you said. And right now, our advice and suggestion is that you stay away from that. Not to mention, oftentimes they just don't tell you the whole truth or nothing but the truth. They wait till they sell a million cigarettes, a billion cigarettes, then they tell you it's harmful for your health. But they done made billions of dollars first, you know, or they interviewed this one lady. It's a family, right? And this family, they are responsible for the production. They literally made the drug oxycodone. Is that what it's called? Yeah, the one that's killing everybody. And they knew it. They knew it, but, you know. But now they're admitting things. But this after making billions of dollars, and this is what they do. They make their billions, then they come out and admit. And if they had to pay a fine or a fee, that's okay because they done made billions. So it's generally a fraction of what they made. So, yeah. And instead of just locking them up, saying y'all done killed a lot of people and y'all getting locked up. If you take a man's freedom away, then they think about certain things, you know. But a lot of these makers and producers and manufacturers, they are protected by the law in making these things. You can't sue them. These people who are making these vaccines, you can't even sue them. So, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Giving all honor and glory to Yahweh by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Moray, what steps do we have in Israel like here that's set up in Cincinnati if they do mandatory us here in Ohio as Israelites? What do we have set up here? Any type of paperwork that we have that we can show them that this is not what we do? And also I have another question is how do Yah remove our transgressions from us? Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yah. Praise the mighty Yah. And yes, we do have paperwork here for your jobs. We have paperwork for vaccinations. We have paperwork for just most anything that you would need as an organization where our organization is set up by the state. That's how most nonprofits are. And so we're a nonprofit in the state of Ohio. So all the ministers here can marry legally. All the ministers here can, and we have, you know, our Ohio seal to seal any document that we are state regulated in terms of our exemption. What we don't have is we don't get into the 501c's where the government can come and just get in all your business. We don't have that. So we could, but we just never had to do that. And we never had a desire to do that. But, yeah, we have paperwork for just about everything. Hallelujah. Somebody else, Emmanuel? Oh yeah, I'll deal with that.
I did. I don't know if I sent it to you, brother, but I did see on social media that the two main vaccinations that they got out there. If you have severe side effects, you cannot sue the pharmaceutical companies that made the vaccine.
Yeah, that's all of them. They protected by the law. Yeah, take the bottle off. Yes, sir. Let me up.
Praise Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
In I think London and in a couple states here, a couple of people have already got allergic reactions since taking the shot.
Somebody already died from it. But they let you know that's one of the side effects. Yeah, that's one of the side effects. So, I mean, what can you do? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to veer too far off of what you were going to teach, but I have a question dealing with in the book of Numbers, the 30th chapter. And it's speaking about the vows of a wife. And in Numbers, the 30th chapter, starting at the 13th verse, it reads that every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establish all her vows or all her bonds which are upon her. He confirms them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. And the 15th verse says, but he shall anyways make them void after that he heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. Now, that's the particular verse that I was trying to get some more understanding on.
Read that last part again, what you said.
It says, but if he shall anyways make them void after that he have heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity.
Right.
Now, my question is, does he bear his wife iniquity because she was performing those vows and he said cease from doing it? Is that why he has to bear her iniquities? Or she still performed it and he still has to bear her iniquities?
And give me that verse one more time.
Numbers 30, verses 13 through 15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 15. Yeah, the reason why he bear her iniquity is because he held his peace what? Right. In other words, day to day, he just didn't give her an answer. He held his peace. Then all of a sudden, he might have seen, you can't do this. He might have seen this is in conflict. He might have seen something that he said, no, you just got to cease. But at the end of the day, you waited these days to see that. Yeah, now it's on you. It ain't on her. Because this is what he should have did. In that same chapter, it says, sixth verse, start there.
Numbers 30, verse 6. And if she had all a husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand.
Yeah, that's what really should happen. It shall stand. He heard it, he held his peace, her vow stands. Don't come to me 3 days, 4 days later talking about, yeah, you can't do that. Now you bear iniquity. But watch the 8th verse.
But if her husband disallow her on the day that he heard it.
This is my first time hearing this thing. What's going on? What you doing? Well, I'm not going to eat for 20 days. What? What that mean? I mean, I'm not going to cook for 100 days. What? You couldn't give me a heads up or prep or nothing? I'm just going to... I remember my son told me he was about maybe about 13 years old. Yeah, he might have been 13. I can't remember, but he was in his teens. He was well under 20 years old. And he was so excited about the scriptures. And he said, Dad, I'm a read every day. I'm a vow to read every day. I said, son, that's a beautiful vow, but I can't let that stand, man. You can't just, what happens if you just go in the hospital and you don't have your scriptures? Then what you going to do? What happens if, you know, you're working so hard and then you don't work the long day and now you fall asleep? Anything can happen. So you just don't make vows. You make vows when you know, yeah, you're going to perform this thing. Vows are very serious. It's a promise to Yahweh. And there's no getting out of a vow. I done seen people, you know, walk away from vows and I'm like, but you can't walk away from no vow. People say, man, I'm not going to drink. Now Yahweh got me out of this. I make a vow I'm not going to drink no more. And then they come back and say, oh, that's a foolish vow. I shouldn't have never said that. Like, yeah, but now you got to do it. Well, I've been drinking. I will stop drinking. Stop. God, you done made this vow. You just can't. I done slept with this woman. I vowed I wasn't going to do it, and I was going to be what they call it, celibate. I was going to be celibate. I'm like, well, be celibate again. God, you got to keep your vow. You just can't. You break it, but you got to keep your vow, man. You just can't, you know, stop and say, man, I done messed up. Forget it now. No, Yahweh don't work like that. Man work like that, but not Yahweh. You know, you got to keep your vow. But if he heard it that day, yeah, he got to the sun, go down to think about it. But, you know, that's it. Yes, sir.
So if you make a vow and you break your vow, you can't even cleanse it even on the Day of Atonement because you still owe that vow.
Oh, yeah, a vow is a vow, man. You know, yeah. The scripture says it is better not to vow than to vow and not pay it. Yeah, Day of Atonement don't wipe away vows. It wipe away your sin that you messed up. But now, get it right. Get this thing right, man. You vow. Yahweh didn't command you to vow, make you to vow, put a gun up to your head, and, you know. Yeah, yes, sir.
Two things. So when, in that scripture right there that my brother was asking about, when you're forced to bear the iniquity of a vow, is that now you have to keep up that vow, or is that now the recompense that she would have received from the Most High?
Let me look at it a little bit closer. Let me look at it. Let me look at that a little bit closer, how that iniquity is bared. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One
and then
second thing, I was just curious about meditating on because of this fast. Cleansing the blood of the innocent, standing in the gap that brought me to Deuteronomy 20:21-9. Now, since we don't have priests to do some of these things these days, the equivalent of this for us right now, be fasting, trying to stand in the gap for our others. And the verse I'm specifically quoting is, or referring to it, it'd be 21:8-9.
What is that again?
Deuteronomy 21.
All right.
1-9, and I'm referring to verses 8. Sorry about
that. Write to 8 and 9 for me.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 8.
Deuteronomy 21, verse 8 and 9.
It reads, "Be merciful, O Yah, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed. And lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from amongst you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of Yah."
What I'm asking is, by doing what is right, or as we know, what is righteous or upright, but yeah, sure, would that be the same form of sharing the blood of sin?
All right, now, ask him one more time. I just want to read it just to make sure I understood the question.
All right, my question or the meditation I came to with the fast and with this was, is our fast, in a sense, doing the same thing as the scripture and clearing the blood of sin by doing what is right or what is upright? We don't have priests.
Yeah, It is some similarities. It is some similarities, but you can't clear the blood guilt because the scripture says, thou shalt not take the name of Yah in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. And so you still got to pay. You still have to pay, even though your fasting is definitely a consideration. But we still got to pay. And Yahweh even said also that he would not let the blood guilty go guiltless, you know. So the blood is heavy. If you didn't know that you were doing something, then that's a little bit different. But when you know and you are committing committing a presumptuous sin, then that's a little bit different.
I think that you said exactly what I was kind of referencing about when I mentioned clearing the blood of the innocent, which is those of Israel who just clearly and firmly have no idea who they
right.
are.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely different. Definitely different. Yeah. And the Almighty, he makes a clear difference with that, too. Yeah. Yes, sir. Minister Michael, praise the mighty Yah, Shabbat Shalom.
Praise the mighty Yah, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. That was a really good question. And I'm reading out of my Tanakh.
Mm-hmm.
And the 16th verse reads, but if he shall, says, but if he shall revolt them, after that he heard them.
Right.
And my question is, well, here, seeing where he waited a few days, seeing his thoughts, heard him, and he was like, say, for example, she was like, I'm going, you know, the first thing, like what the apostle did, when he said, the first thing to come out of my house, offer it up to him. And what was the first thing that came out of his
house? His daughter. Right.
He's saying, like, you got to watch what you say.
Right.
Because the Almighty, the thing that I've been meditating on vows, there was a question about, a point of advice. Like, there was a young man who said, so you mean to tell me if I'm playing a video game and I vow to, you know, if I lose this game, I'm going to kill him. I got to do it. And she said, you made that vow. It's just that serious. And I think that what's so beautiful about his question and his point is that when you learn to stop playing with God, because in the book of Psalm 50, he talks about how we treat him as though we're in him, that he's going to us. The point we're here is that I'm sitting here that he heard her make the vow, then he repeats it, or he invoked it, like, nah, you ain't keeping him. Because of that, they're her victim. Because when you don't keep a vow, God Almighty lets you know in the book of Ecclesiastes 5, he lets you know that it's better to not make a vow than not keep it. Because if you, you know, it can't be in the day when you're, you know, busy with the pay, you can't say what y'all didn't say.
What verse did you read in your, tonight?
In verse 16, it says, matter of fact, I'll read 15 verses with it. It says, if her husband shall be silent about her from day to day, he will have let stand all her vows. So if he shut up, don't say nothing, whatever she vows, stand. For all the prohibitions that are upon her, he will have let them stay. For he was silent about her. And now, here's one. It says here, but if he shall rebuke them after his having heard, he shall bear iniquity. So what I'm seeing there is that this is all dealing with once he heard it. Once he heard it, whether he let it stand, it is what it is. She got to deal with it. She got to deal with that. But in the day that he heard it and he said, you know, I revoke this vow, then that's when he said,
so,
and I'm thinking about in the court. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So yours don't say, but if your husband altogether holds his peace at her from day to day.
Yeah, it says that in the 15th verse. It says, if her husband shall be silent about her from day to day, he will have let stand her vow. So that's if he don't say nothing, then he's letting her vow stand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 16th verse says, but if he heard it and he rebuked it, then that's when he's going to bear her iniquity. Sort of like if, you know, when we get married and, you know, you're in love for that moment. You're in love. You know, you want to make a vow. Vow to never leave you and to always be with you forever and ever and never leave you and wash your little stinky drawers. I vow. And then they make this vow. If the man don't rebuke it and let it stand and it holds, then she has to do this vow. But however, if you say, nah, baby, we ain't mind what you did by that vow. And because she didn't keep that vow, that's significant. Because she made the vow, it came from her lips. And now, once it's right, you can't get back. So now that's out there, because he rebuked it, now he has to bear her iniquity.
Right. What do your A verse read?
Verse.
I think your verses is different from mine,
yeah,
but
these, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's, but it's a verse in mine, but it might be your seventh or your ninth.
Let me see. It says,
but if her husband disallow her, that's
that
our mine.
That would be the ninth verse. It says, but if on the day of her husband's hearing,
right,
he shall restrain her, and he shall rebuke the vow that is upon her, or the utterance of her lips, by which he had prohibited something upon herself, then Yah will forgive her.
In other words, go ahead. No, explain that. Go ahead.
I want to say that this year, this year is the explanation on this year is given what the woman. Then the woman's part is when that vow is revoked, I'm going to forgive the woman. But because the husband stood as the intercessor of this vow between me and you, and I did give him the allowance to revoke it, the same iniquity that an individual will bear by not keeping the vow, I'm going to put it on the husband. That's in the latter part of it. That's I'm going to the 16th verse, because when the Almighty is saying, even going further and saying that I'm going to, because you as the husband revoked it, now I'm going to forgive her. So it's sort of like you said, somebody's got to pay when it comes to breaking the vow. So it's either going to be the individual who made the vow, or in this case, the husband who rebuked the vow, he's going to bear the iniquity.
No, that's good. And I like that. Let me see. Look in that same chapter and see if the father will he have to bear the iniquity of his daughter. But either way, that's good. I'm gonna search it out a little bit more, because I don't see where her father.
Right here.
Right. Right, and that's what you point out with the husband. But I want to see if he doesn't say he will bear the iniquity, because undoubtedly she vowed, he disallowed it. Will he bear the iniquity of his daughter? Right, no, I agree. So the gotcha. You saying that could be both of them? Okay. But yeah, I'm gonna search this out. That's real good. I'm leaning more towards how you're explaining it. I think that's good, and I'm because the vow you got to pay it. So it's even more restrictive than I even thought. So, yeah, I'm going to search it out just a little bit more, and I think that's good. Praise the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah. If you have a question online, and the question is, what is the book of Enoch?
Well, the book of Enoch is just another book that a lot of people write when they want to know more about certain people that's written in the scriptures. The person that brought us Enoch in the scriptures is Moses, and he wrote this story. And everything Yahweh wanted us to know, he put in this book. And so we didn't have to go searching out all these other books. And I can assure you, I have about 3 different books of Enoch, and they all contradict the scriptures, all of them. Yes, sir.
Praise the mighty God. I am one that reads both the Apocrypha, Book of Enoch, Book of Jubilee, and these books are books of that's basically God. Supposedly an extended account. There's no law in them. None. There's no, you're not going to say, well, I don't need the Torah no more. I got the Book of Enoch to be a fool to do that. It's just basically, like you said, brother, when it comes to it, you got to look at the authors, too. Like the authors, you can see, like, okay, well, this is, you know, the Almighty can move who he wants to move, but that's how, you know, King Cyrus was the one that built the temple. You know what I'm saying? And he was a pagan, but y'all put him as far as he wants. So, sometimes when you're reading things, like I read the book, you know, I'll read the book of Enoch or, you know, even 10 books, Babylon and 10 books too. Them books are just basically referencing away from the Holy Scripture. But it's just like you said, it's this reference book. It's supposed to give you an extended account. Like where in the book of Genesis, it talks about where Enoch was walking and he was no more. So Enoch never died. The Almighty took him. He took him. But then in the book of Enoch, when you read it, it breaks down about the even the calendar, Enoch calendar. But when you read the book of Enoch, you don't necessarily read it for law. One of the things is like, okay, well, I see where, and it's supposed to be an extension of and had a, you know what I'm saying, and where it deals with in the book, I believe it's Genesis 6, where it talks about there were giants, and then when where the angels of the Almighty had supposedly had came down with and taught men how to create weapons and things of that nature, and laid with where the sons of Elohim had laid with the daughters of men. The sons of Elohim were of the host of the Almighty. And that's basically what it is. So I agree with you. When you get these books, you have to be very careful, because a lot of the Almighty people use these books as what are not created, should not be used
for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then, and also, I will say that they will give a different account than Moses. Moses will give one account, and then they will give a different account, and then you will have to choose, well, which one is right? Well, who wrote the law? You know, who did Moses, who went up in the cloud? Who fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And this is real easy. So, but that's what the book of Jubilees, because they all have the Genesis account, Enoch, Genesis account. But then they also have, some of them will have past Genesis account. And so, I believe it was shown to Moses, and that's the account that we should go by. And then other things, I just have them all. And I just got them all marked up real good, too, where they, you know, like the Book of Jubilees. I actually kind of like the Book of Jubilees, you know. But it just have differences that when you're honest and looking for the truth, you just tell the truth. Yeah, this is couldn't be so, you know. So I don't endorse no books. I don't say that you don't have them, because you need to know all the books, just like the New Testament. But I don't endorse none of the books. Brother, Elder, Elijah, and Yehuda.
Shabbat Shalom.
Before I forget, Elder, let me just show this one scripture. I wanted to show more than one because of time purposes. I just want to show this one scripture for Hashub. And it's in the book of Daniel. Because the question that he asks, it's, all your questions is beautiful, but to me, certain questions get to the heart of the matter, and this one gets to the heart of the matter. And it's in the book of Daniel, and his question was about how can we be forgiven for transgression? How do we do away with transgressions? And you can't. There's not one sin you can't be forgiven of, but you just got to know how. This one is in the book of Daniel. Daniel 4 and 27. Start at 26, though.
Daniel 4 and 26 reads, "And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto you. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule."
The heavens do rule, and that's what the generations of the heavens was all about. That the heavens rule, we got to know that. We got to understand it in a different way than we even imagine. Go ahead.
"Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you, and break off thy sins by righteousness."
And the only way you can break your sins off by righteousness, you got to know what it is. Righteousness, the Creator said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 20th verse, that if we keep all these commandments that he has commanded us, it shall be our righteousness. So you've got to be a commandment keeper to break off your righteousness. Don't let nobody take you away from Yahweh's commandments. Break off your sins by righteousness.
And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor.
And we all got iniquities. But if you want to break off these iniquities, show mercy to the poor. Go ahead.
"If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility."
Yeah, you want your peace lengthened, start dealing with your poor, having mercy on the poor, and be a commandment keeper. That's how you do that. But it's another beautiful scripture. Hopefully it'll come to me. Yes, I'm sorry, Elder.
"Fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them."
Yeah.
So praise God.
Once you immerse yourself, it's so many things that we can learn about the word of Yahweh, the book of Yahweh, that is so unbelievable. You'll never get to the other books because it's so much to learn in this book. I mean, it's just, I'm learning all the time. I'm able to teach things that you ain't never heard, and that's just the truth because it's things that you're going to learn every day just reading it. You're like, my goodness, I've been reading this book for years, and now I'm just now seeing this. That's how the word of Yahweh is, you know. And you can't read it like any other book because it's not like another book. This book is divinely inspired. That's why it says that he brought these books together. Yes, sir. Oh, Yehuda, then
Shabbat Shalom. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Just add to that, even with the elder said, 30 on a year, bring out 34:16, is bringing out Ecclesiastes 12:12, when he talk about there's going to be many books. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's going to be many making these books.
There
ain't
no
never,
end.
There ain't no end of these books. Basically, you're going to hear about the book of this, the book of that, the book of this, the book of Enoch, the book of this. He say, but the conclusion of the matter is the fear of Yah, keep his commandments. And that speaks values because just by you keeping Yah's laws and his commandments and doing his work, and work in righteousness, he will reveal the things to you that you need to know. His secrets is to his servants. So we don't need to, you know, we don't need to chase out all these books. So me personally, I don't read all them books. I mean, I don't got time for my mind to be getting twisted and swirled. And
well, let me say this. Let me say this on that. This is the thing. This is what I teach. You found, you have to be founded in the word of Yah. That's where your foundation is. That's where your spirit must lie. But once you're able to do that, then you can read anything because you already have your foundation. You can study anything. And the Creator said that he wants you to have the knowledge of Elohim. So, for example, that's why I said in the when I taught Genesis, 12 different generations. One of those generations are the sons of Japheth. That's something you have to know about. And sometimes that will take you other places, the sons of Ishmael, the sons of Ham, the sons. In other words, you do have to have a world view on things as an Israelite. We can't be like other people. So, you know, somebody asks you something about other people and other nations, you should know. But you don't think you should know because I'm an Israelite. All I need to know is about Israel. But no, you need to know about everything that affects Israel. Everything that, you know, Solomon's wisdom went beyond. But his foundation was this. And so he knew these other books couldn't compare to this. So that, he didn't go to these books for answers, as many of our people do today. They go for to these books for answers. And I don't. I go to these books for knowledge. Therefore, if somebody talked to me about the book of Enoch, I know about it because I got it and I read it. They talked to me about the book of Jubilees, the book of Jasher, the book of the dead. And most of these books, the New Testament, and all these other books, so I can communicate with them. And that's what you want to be able to do. You want to be able to communicate with people. It says that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they was 10 times wiser than everybody in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. 10 times wiser. And you can't be 10 times wiser if you just don't know things. You got to know things. But this got to be your foundation. Yes, sir.
Praise the mighty God.
You say when you divorce a woman, you can't go back to her again. Once she becomes another woman's wife. The Quran say in order for you to get her, she got to be another man's wife.
Yeah.
And you can't have an intelligent conversation with a Muslim because you don't know who's listening. And I learned that because when we really think that ministry of Islam is important, we don't think it's our way. But, man, I was blessed to be up under you, and you a lot longer. He could have a conversation with a Jew and break down the taboo. And it's not about studying it. And I wish y'all people wouldn't be so closed minded in the sense of it's gonna take me away. It's only gonna take you away from the life. The book of Enoch take you away from Yahweh, that means the spirit must come. Because you will see the fallacy in the book in the sense of that, but like you said, with history. History. I read books on Malcolm X. Don't be far, Mike. I just love reading.
No, that's good.
I pick up a magazine and just read it.
Yeah.
I love reading. I know I look at myself more so as I'm just the orator of the church. And I bring forth the topic. This is what we do. But, now, my speakers, man, they were skilled in all things. When you were a good soldier knows how to use it. Always remember that. A good soldier don't just train with sword, he trains with the spear, He trained with the shield. He trained with the sling if it's one. He trained with the hand knife. Like, yeah, when we went to battle, we didn't just have a sword on us. We had a hand knife. We had shields. We had shields created so that it could be used as a weapon. We trained with every walk away from the base. Because the thing that's so deep is most of us that'll say, you know, I don't read no book and not don't even keep the Sabbath. Praise God.
Hallelujah, praise God. And I, of course, I agree with that, but I have to do say this, with all due respect, you're not crazy, but I know a lot of crazy people that read the book of Enoch and Jubilees and all these other books. So I know them. I've been here a lot longer than most of y'all, and I know them, and I've debated them, and these books that took their heart way away from the Most High. But it's correct. You don't be afraid of these books. But you got to have your foundation. And most people, as my beautiful minister was trying to say, we're not founded in certain things. That's why we're taken away. And always, you got to get your foundation together. And I know a lot of people that walked away from Yah because of these other books. And really, they was never founded in Yah. People say, man, they don't serve Yah no more than what they never really did. You know, they never did. You only thought they did. You know, you didn't know they was pretending. That's all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Last, one quick thing back to Baal. I just want to be curious about now. I know that a fool can say in his heart there's no Elohim, and Yahweh hears that.
Yeah.
Can you make a vow in your heart?
Oh, of course you can. Of course you can. But it has to come out of your lips. Because if not, the Almighty will have a law for it. Oh, man, I read your heart, man. You know what you said.
Hallelujah.
Keep that thing. But, yeah, it got to come out your lips. See, we got to have witnesses. We got to have people who can establish things, and you do that through witnesses. Yeah. Praise the mighty Yah. Did I get everybody questions, though? Okay, what was that first question online? Yeah, because I didn't understand it. She's absolutely right. I remember. I didn't get it. And say it one more time. Maybe say it one more time. No, Obadiah got it. Yeah, I didn't understand it. Let's see. Hashum is back. My brother.
The question was, do we eat the same way as fasting because of Sabbath? I guess, unless they were asking, do we eat in the same fashion of when we fasted on the 40-day fast? Do we eat in the same fashion? Now it's the night fast. Yeah. Yeah, that may be the way he's asking. Okay.
Yeah, see how everybody guessing.
Yeah, see he never came back.
That's why I don't know what they have. And I ain't gonna try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Day is day and night is night. I don't, you know. I just don't know. I really just don't know. So, yeah, that's a blemish on my part. I don't know. Yeah. But I did have a question. And we're going to be adjourning in 15 minutes. But so this won't take long at all. My question, because somebody asked me about us as a people gathering together. And so some people under the impression or they believe that maybe we're in the last days, we should look into possibly getting maybe passports and moving to other parts of the world, such as Africa, maybe Ghana, maybe what's the other place I heard? Where brother Brian come from? Liberia. Just different places in Africa, maybe the islands, I don't know. Or should we maybe gather ourselves together somewhere in the States, all together, like maybe some remote area, maybe like Goshen. I hear about the land of Goshen down in Georgia. Should we get with our brothers, and I know who run the community there, should we get with them and maybe migrate there and leave these cities? So that's my question. What do y'all think we should do? Scripture says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. Yes, Elder Lion, I just take about two or three comments. All right. I got y'all.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
I would say definitely something to be looked in according to what you just cited. And also we know about Prince Nas down in Georgia trying to do that same thing. So it makes sense, and it wouldn't hurt us to research more to see what Yah wants to do. But it seems to be going in the right direction, and there will be strength in numbers. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right.
I want to say this.
Blessing, blessing, blessing be. The truth is alive. Blessing.
Hallelujah. 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 Until now, Tally, man, get you up here, man, so we can get you on the wax. Yes, sir.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
I agree with research, but one of the biggest things, I don't want to come together just for the sake of coming together. And what I mean by that is, if I come together with you, we both have to be under the God's roof. Can't be no more, because a lot of finessers a lot of finessers are led by precepts of me. So if say we're gonna deal with the precepts of God, now we got something to build on. Because just coming together, we'll be right back where we are now, separated and even worse. But we all migrated in one spot, now we battle each other because of ideology. That's one of the things that's so deep with us, is that we've separated ourselves, most of us have, because some of ideology. You think differently than me. And because you think differently than me, then you obviously are wrong. No one considers others, think that once, if we come together, if we do that, it would have to be under Yah, and we have a, because I feel like we should have elder board set up, all the elders should be set up. Then under the elders, you got the leaders, and we sit and we talk. As long as we come under the umbrella that God has done, that's fine. Other than that, we'll just be a bunch of hens in a place, chilling, or making even worse of them. And we should stop.
Hallelujah.
Praise Maria.
I think Emmanuel. I think you do this, Adam.
Yeah, but it was on my mind. Give glory and strength, honor and praise unto the mighty Yah by singing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be you, Yahweh. I agree, brother. First thing came to my thoughts was, how can two walk together except in grief? I'm scared to see if we go down and we become that way. First and foremost, like always, let Yahweh's way stand. If the Most High move our spirits to do such a thing, then that will stand. If the Most High don't move our spirits to do such a thing, then that will stand. So I pray the mighty Yah allow us to be of a broken spirit and broken and contrite heart and move it that way.
Therefore, humility will go before us, and Yahweh will go before us and nothing else. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What I was thinking of, that first thing that came to mind is a few scriptures where Yahweh says to God that it will have to all be these sacrifices of putting personal feelings and the precepts of man away. We all have to agree on that one. Do I feel like that is possible, or anything is possible under the Most High? But it'd be hard with a lot of the brothers we have, honestly, Israel as a whole. Hey, Most High did say how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. There's this large community, like my brother said, of continuous strife. No one can agree. Everyone feels like, I don't want this person as leader, this person as leader. I should be leader. There's going to be continuous strife. And we know that. I do believe we should gather. I do believe that's something we should look into. But it's a very delicate role in how it should be handled and how it should be going about. And Most High has to lead and go before.
All right, I'm going to take this last one. Oh, I'm sorry, bro. I got you. I'll let you say your piece. Yeah, tomorrow. Go ahead, Don, you roll.
Praise y'all. This is just something to consider. The folks that went over to the land of Israel and established that, most of them came out of Chicago. Y'all only get over there and scream at JC and get established. I established they had that stuff, JC. They had stuff here today. One West Camp in New York. That was y'all only. They split off different groups, and all of them, Holly, JC. So, my mind telling me to wait on y'all.
Hallelujah. Yeah, they originated, Ben Amin, and when they was in Chicago, they was two bookers here in Chicago when they went. They might have had some people that were Torah only, but the New Testament prevailed. It definitely prevailed. Yeah. And Lemuel.
Praise the Mighty Yah.
Praise the Mighty Yah.
From my understanding, the whole point of the conference was to gather the leaders together, discuss the issues that they have with one another. That was a way of gathering. And it was, you know, let people know that we disagree, we see things differently. But the fact that they did gather together, but then it came to it where, as you know, nobody wanted to discuss the law. So that was a test from Yahweh. That was the number one test. And we as a people failed that test of gathering. So what can we do to pass the second test of gathering together? Because we failed with the first.
I thought I was answering the question. All right. Well, this is how I see it in the scriptures. And somebody had asked me this question, so that's why I'm just getting you all wisdom on it, just to see where everybody's standing. But this is what it says in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, so we can at least be on the same page of what this is saying. In the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, the first verse.
Zephaniah 2, verse 1 reads, "Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired."
Nobody's more undesirable than us.
"Before the decree bring forth."
So this was a, like, this had a time set to it. It says, "Before the decree bring forth." Now, what is a decree? Yeah, some type of command, some type of law, statute, something that's going to bring forth that as a result of us gathering or not gathering, you want to do it before this decree brings forth. Go ahead.
Before the day passed as the chaff.
Before the day passed as the chaff. When the day just going, it really don't matter. The chaff don't matter to nobody. All they want is the inside of it, and they don't, the chaff, is it blows away and nobody cares none about it.
Before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you. Before the day of Yah's anger come upon you.
And at the end of the day, if you didn't understand the first two, then he wants you to understand the last thing. Before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you. Before the day of Yahweh's anger come upon you, you want to gather yourselves together. And when you gather yourselves together, there's only one way to be successful. And it says this in the third verse.
Seek ye Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of Yah's anger.
Yeah, because Yahweh is only looking toward the meek. He's only looking toward the righteous. Because in every generation, there is a righteous. That's why he said, Noah found grace in his sight. And he seen righteousness in Noah in his generation. Because he's always looking for the righteous. And, of course, he's always looking for the meek. This is, like, essential for the Most High. And so it is true that we have to do these things. But Yahweh is looking for, he's not looking to camps in this verse. He's not looking to camps and Knessets and congregations, and he's looking for individuals. He's looking for the meek. He's looking for the righteous to gather themselves together. That's what he meant by gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Because he's looking to the individuals that's willing and ready to stand up and do something different. And but why individuals? Because little do people know, there's not one geographical location that Yahweh has ever told us to gather ourselves to, with the exception of Jerusalem. That is the only place he mandated that everybody come to, and no other place, especially in captivity. But he did say, we will gather, and it's not to a place. Let me show you, according to prophecy, what we will gather to. The first prophecy is in the book of Genesis 49. In the book of Genesis 49, let's bring out two scriptures just for the sake of time, so we can adjourn pretty much on time. And this is what it says in the 8th verse.
Genesis 49, verse 8 reads, Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise.
Mm-hmm.
Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, and your father's children shall bow down before you. Yehuda is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, you are gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people.
Yeah, in other words, our gathering is not going to be to a place. Little do people know, our gathering will be to an individual that Yahweh sets up. And this is how we're going to know the ultimate gathering that we have to have. You will see this also in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, this is what it says in the 10th verse.
It reads, In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people.
He's going to stand for an ensign of the people.
To it shall the Gentiles seek.
The nation's going to seek.
And his rest shall be glorious.
Uh-huh.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the king shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth.
Yeah, he's going to gather together. He's going to assemble Israel, the outcasts of Israel, and he's going to gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. And when this ensign is set up, you'll see he's called an ensign, but he's also called a standard. And he will be the standard bearer that will bring about this gathering. And we won't have to worry about, Sid, that's the last one. This definitely the last one. We won't worry about the bickering that we do today in coming together. Because watch what it says in the book of Psalms 110. First verse.
Psalms 110:1. Yahweh said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Thou shalt send out the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies.
Yeah, the strength is coming out of Zion, but he said, rule you in the midst of your enemy, because that's where he's going to be. Third verse.
Your people shall be willing in the day of your power.
They're going to be willing in the day of your power.
And in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth.
You have the dew of your youth. In other words, you're not going to be necessarily a youth, but you're going to have the dew of your youth. Well, of course, if he was a youth, then when he had to say you're going to have the dew of your youth, because you're already a youth. But this talking about someone that is not a youth, and they will have that strength as if they were young. But in the day of his power, they're going to be willing. You won't have the bickering that you have today. And that's because there are certain things that will happen that will gather the people together to whom it was set up to be gathered together too. So we were not to, the scriptures don't talk about some gathering place other than Jerusalem, and the other place is the wilderness where Yahweh will take us. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In reference to that gathering,
you can tell everybody. Okay.
Can we reference Jeremiah 3:14 to that gathering, or would that be a different gathering? When the Most High says, take us one of a city.
What that, yeah. Well, all of us is coming out of here. But when they say one of a city and two of a family, that's what Yahweh is talking about.
Going to Zion.
That's correct. He's going to Zion. Yeah. He's going home. Any other questions or comments on that while the people coming down?
More than Naphtali wanted. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Yah is righteous. More than Naphtali wanted to let everybody know that the cafe will be open in the morning from 8 at 8 o'clock. Breakfast.
All right. Hallelujah.
And that we're going to be feeding the poor at 8 o'clock. Says, is what More than Naphtali says. He wants to be at the block at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, and we're doing the barbecue and everything.
That's what I understand.
All right. You heard that, show me, right?
Yeah, I heard.
All right.
Those are the words of Maureen of Talley.
All right.
Disclaimer. All right, praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Has everybody come down? Just let them know about their journey, so. Brother JJ, while we're assembling, the phone's out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a blessing, blessing, joy, blessing to be Jerusalem. It's a blessing.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Are we everybody here? Almighty Yah, creator of the universe, Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. Thy servants humbly come before thee, thanking you, Almighty Yah, for your goodness, your loving kindness, and tender mercies. We thank you for your blessings, Yah. We thank you, Almighty Yah, for bringing us through another week, protecting us against all hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you, Almighty Yah, for bringing us through this Shabbat day, that we might praise our holy, righteous, and exalted name. And even as this day come to an end, Yah, this Shabbat come to a close, we pray that you will continue to be with us. Continue to lead and guide us. Continue to order our steps. Continue to strengthen us according to thy will and righteous ways, Yah, that we might be honorable in thy sight, that we might show forth thy praise and bring glory to thy great and honorable name, Yah. And please, Almighty Yah, forgive us. Forgive us for our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. For we love thee with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. And please, Almighty Yah, even as thou hast prophesied, continue to make the crooked things straight and magnify thy law and make it honorable. Please continue to bless us, Almighty Yah, as we seek thee, as we fast before thee, and as we talk of thee, even thy commandments, and talk of thy fear. And Almighty Yah, please gather us together, Almighty Yah, even as thy word has stated, that we will gather ourselves together. And please, Almighty Yah, continue to bless my family, the house of Israel, and all thy people that scatter throughout the four corners of the earth. And Almighty Yah, especially those that fear thee and tremble at thy word. We love you, Yah. We thank you, Yah. We honor you, Yah. We praise you, Yah, and we worship you, Yah. From this time forth or forevermore, by saying hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified.
Shema Yisrael, Yah Eloheinu, Yah Echad, Hear O Israel, Yah Eloheinu, Yahweh is one.
Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified.
May Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. May Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May Yahweh lift up his countenance unto thee and grant thee peace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Yah is righteous.
Yah is righteous.
Yah is holy.
Yah is holy.
And let Yahweh be magnified.
Let Yahweh be magnified.
Amen.
Amen. What up for Yahweh? And to all those listening by the way of internet, Yah, we love you, so do I. Shabbat shalom.
Yeah, I know someone who much higher.
not here. Is his arm shortened to where he cannot stay? Cast your burden down and give them to Yahweh. He was than you and me, that the whole world see. Bills get paid. I used to worry about all of my enemies. I used to worry about if my friends would stay. But now I take my problems and give them to Yahweh. He must send you and me. That the whole world
first and foremost, let us give all praise to the mighty Yah, the creator of heaven, earth, and seas, the elder, and MB. I say hallelujah.
Praise Yah. Come on.
Sing aloud, all you servants unto Yah.
Praise Yah, to Yah. Praise Yah, to Yah.
Pray aloud, all you servants unto Yah.
Praise Yah, to Yah. Praise Yah, to Yah.
Sing aloud, all you servants unto Yah.
Praise Yah, to Yah. Praise Yah, to Yah.
Pray aloud,
praise Yah. Come on,
Yah. So get thanks to Yahweh, glorify his holy name, magnify his worship, talk of all his wonders that he made.
Let's go.
See Yah in his face,
yeah.
His marvelous display on earth.